Greetings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to another edition of Slashtober. I'm Daniel Shine. That's producer Todd.
Good evening.
Pugs Dread.
Namaste.
And Mike Kruger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
So we're here with another round of Slashtober, but before we do, Kruger, tell them what Slashtober is all about.
So what we do for our Slashtober special is rate and review a slasher film, and then at the end of the episode, we will add that movie to a list compiled from our previous episodes, and from there, we will vote and eliminate one slasher from that list, leaving us with our top three slashers, aka our three final girls. So Todd, why don't you tell us what our final girl list is so far and what we are reviewing tonight?
All right. Thanks, Kruger. Okay. So it looks like our final girls are Evil Dead Trap, Hell Knight, and Sweatshop is returning from last episode. Fuck. Yeah. Real quick.
Are we gonna be hard?
Okay. Eliminated so far, we have Edge of the Axe, Just Before Dawn, Charlie's Farm, Skinner, He Knows You're Alone, Slumber Party Massacre, the original, Psycho Cop Returns, and Eyes of a Stranger. Let's talk about The Prowler.
I was going to say some Titans there, and He Knows You're Alone, which I still don't like.
We remember.
All right, guys. So The Prowler is a 1981 film from slasher legend Joseph Zito, Friday the 13th, part four, my personal favorite. So 1981, magic year. And in this one, if you're unaware, an unknown killer clad in World War II army fatigue stalks a small New Jersey town bent on reliving a 35-year-old double murder by focusing on a group of college kids holding an annual graduation dance. All right. So, Kruger, what did you think of The Prowler? Was this your first time on Prowler?
No, I've seen it a handful of times before. I actually found out about it because of the Friday the 13th Crystal Lake Memoirs documentary. That's the whole reason why I found out about The Prowler, Madman, The Burning, all of those slashers. So watching this for the first time back in the day, I was blown away with just how brutal the kills were. And of course, you know, it has effects legend Tom fucking Savini working on this motherfucker. So anytime he's involved in a slasher movie, my tail is wagging, and it's no different for this movie. I absolutely adore this film. I don't think it's a masterpiece because there is little areas where it does kind of drag a tiny bit, but overall, this is a fucking killer slasher. The characters, you know, I don't really feel for any of them, but I still like them because they just have that 80s charm to them. And, you know, some of the girls, they're kind of sleazy, you know, flashing their fucking neighbor and shit. So all of that stuff is a lot of fun. The killer in this, I thought, is fucking great. Like, he's just brutal as shit. And I love his look with, you know, his army helmet and, you know, the face mask and all that. And you can see how, you know, this killer definitely inspired things like Evil Dead Trap. You know, the look of that killer is straight up The Prowler. So this was actual pretty influential slasher film. I mean, you see a lot of homages to this movie in Friday the 13th. Not really homages, more like ripoffs, but you get what I mean. Like, and you can see where Friday the 13th took some stuff from this, and that's kind of why I like the Friday the 13th series, just because you can see they kind of pick and choose from these amazing slashers and throw that into their story. And it was awesome to see that in this movie. I also love just the whole motivation for the killer, just that whole storyline alone, I think is really well done. It's one of the cooler slasher backstories we get. You know, honestly, I kind of feel for the killer a little bit. I mean, if I was fucking chipped away, you know, serving my country and my girl broke up with me over a letter, I'd be pretty fucking pissed off too and may want to kill some motherfuckers. So I actually feel for the killer in this. And the kills, I mean, are absolutely fucking amazing. There's a couple of kills in this movie just alone that I think are some of the best slasher kills we've ever gotten, like ever. And I'm a huge, you know, slasher fan, but there's a couple in this movie that, I mean, they really are next level shit. And the gore is just phenomenal. Savini, you know, is totally in his element in this movie. And yeah, overall, I love it. I don't think it's a masterpiece. It's not, you know, I don't think it would necessarily make on my top 10 favorite slashers, but it's a goddamn fun one. And if you're a gore guy alone, there's a couple of kills in this movie that are absolutely must-see. And I think this is one of the most must-see slasher films ever, to be honest with you. And I think if you're a big fan of that genre, stuff like this is, you know, you need to make sure you have this in your watch list, because you're not going to be disappointed. Outside of a couple of, you know, little drops in the story where it kind of drags just a tiny bit, it's almost goddamn perfect. So I love this thing to death. What about you, Pugs? Because I feel like you'd like this one.
Your instinct is correct. This one's very strong. Not top 10 list, but this is definitely a must watch. I always like this. Like, I saw this after I saw My Bloody Valentine, so I always like to think of this as its little sibling, because it's favorite. Very close.
They're damn near the same movie. Yeah,
yeah. But I would, if I had to choose one, I'd go My Bloody Valentine. But thankfully, the Miner's not involved in this, so the Prowler's fucking awesome. His kills are fucking great. I didn't really feel bad for him, because he still goes pretty crazy, but I understand where Crew's coming from, because that's a cold-hearted thing to do to somebody. So they had it coming. Yeah, I like this one. I got nothing bad to say. I am curious to see who survives this round, because these are heavy, heavy hitters for slasher movies. But yeah, I fucking like it a lot. I always have, and I think I always will. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, The Prowler, again, 1981, such a crowded field. It's a film that I kind of feel grew its reputation over the years, because it wasn't like necessarily a huge hit back then, but it did kind of steadily build its reputation. Very mean spirited in terms of some of the kills, which I love. I love the kill where the eyes go white. There's just something about that makes it a little more disturbing. I love that in the Hills Have Eyes remake when he's Ted Levine's burning and the eyes just go white. There was something very disturbing about that. And I think it made that kill even more impactful. I absolutely adore this one. Joseph Zito, fantastic director over multiple genres, missing in action, of course.
Yeah.
He's a canon legend. This film was originally called Rosemary's Killer, which I kind of like that title. But
I actually like that title better than The Prowler. Yeah. The only reason I really like The Prowler – have you ever seen the trailer for this movie? It's the fucking best. They say The Prowler probably about 50 fucking times throughout the thing. And they're like, you know, who's stalking you at the night? The Prowler. And they just do that over and over again. It's fucking – like when I was – watching the trailer for this movie, the trailer alone, just the goofiness of it had me in.
Yeah, it I like the previous title, but I can kind of see 81 at that point. I was like, well, we want to make sure they really know what this is.
Wasn't Pitchfork Massacre also considered?
Yeah, which would have you know, really sold it what it was.
honestly, there's no mistaking. That's not a romantic comedy at that point. Julia Roberts is not headlining Pitchfork Massacre. So
I wish she was, man.
This has a lot of production value too, because it wasn't a particularly big budget film, but they were able to borrow the vintage cars from a collector, which anything period piece like that can be a nightmare.
That whole opening sequence is like, I mean, fucking A+. Like, I absolutely love that. And, you know, like you said, even down to the cars and everything, like they get that time period perfectly.
Yeah, and it's so hard and simple killer, but always scary. The reveal is, of course, is kind of kind of cool. This has a great cast. Farley Granger, of course, a legend, absolute old time Hollywood icon. I love his work in here. I enjoyed everything. I don't know why it took so long for this to catch on more, but again, back then, I think we maybe a little bit earlier, we might have had 10 Burning sequels by now. Well,
I'll tell you what, dude, like with my generation just alone, like we had no idea about The Burning. We had no idea about The Prowler or anything like, you know, big like that. Yeah. So Crystal Lake Memoirs was like a godsend to me, at least, because I'm such a slasher fan, but I really never, you know, ventured outside the big, you know, the big four. And then just seeing shit like The Prowler and The Burning, like, it blew my fucking mind. I think that Crystal Lake Memoirs definitely probably helped this help audiences want to see The Prowler for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And you should. I do think this one, if you're looking to see some of the classics, that this is a must see as a slasher fan. Not my absolute favorite, but I do put it up there pretty close to some it's of high. The elites. It delivers everything you want, and suspense too. That's the big thing. It's not just the kills, which the Tom Savini effects are awesome, but the suspense is there too. This one really takes you on a ride, and I think that's important to have both. And I absolutely adore this film. I'm assuming we're probably going to get a 4K at some point.
I really fucking hope so, because like even the Blue Underground Blu-ray right now, like I love their transfers, because whatever they do, they kind of keep that grain to the film still.
They don't DNR stuff that.
Yeah, and I really like that a lot, because it still makes it feel gritty, why the picture is still amazing. So yeah, I hope for a four Stage Fright and The Prowler are the two big ones I want from Blue Underground. So
I think you're definitely going to get The Prowler. I don't know if Stage Fright's a guarantee, but I'm pretty
sure. The way they've been doing their catalog, I it's as long as they still have it, I'd expect it.
Fingers fucking crossed, brother.
Yeah, it's a pretty good bet. All right. So Todd,
there you go.
When did you first see The Prowler? I was just trying to remember you.
Oh geez. It was early on VHS days, didn't see it theatrically. I think it was like 5 when it came out, so it was a little too soon for me. But it's one, like, I also saw Bloody Valentine first, and it's hard to, you know, not notice the similarities. Think my Bloody Valentine is a better movie, because the plot in this is kind of paper thin. No, better movie, but this has better kills.
Well, I wouldn't even go that far.
I said my Bloody Valentine.
Okay, well, I'm going to pause on the better kills. I'm
unrated cut.
See, I'm used to the theatrical version. So
The unrated cut for my Bloody Valentine. I mean, you got the eyeball.
That was life altering for me.
Yeah,
that's a big fucking change.
Fucking Scream Factory killed it with that release too. So like, I mean, seeing it uncut, I take my Bloody Valentine a little bit over it, just because I think that's just the eyeball kill and the what the fuck was it? He stuck her in like a dryer.
Yeah.
And like she comes out all fuck, you know, Freddy Krueger and shit. Like, I love that. But this is, I'm with you though. This is very, very fucking close.
Yeah. But I and I love this one too. They're both just so much fun. But this one I believe it is a slasher masterpiece, because like I've said forever, you don't always need the greatest, you know, you can get away with a thinner plot and something like this, because what we really wanted was different kills, innovative kills, mass killer going around, and this delivers everything to ends and some nudity, can't forget that. This delivers everything.
The shower scene is a big highlight for me. Yeah. I'm not even like a big nudity guy, but that shit was rad.
Yeah. So, all right. I guess we'll go ahead and rate it and see if it survives the final cut. Kruger, what say you?
I am a 4.5 out of 5. I'm like, I feel like maybe as time goes on, I may eventually get to that 5, especially after this watch, because to be honest with you, it felt like a way better movie than I remember it being. But for now, 4.5 out of 5 for me.
I am also a 4.5 out of 5. It's great.
Count me in on the 4.5 out of 5, because that's where I'm at too.
I'm pretty damn close to a 5. But yeah, 4.5, there's a couple nitpicky things, but I do think this is a classic slasher film.
It's one of the best. I'll say this just as a guy that's seen a lot of them. It's one of the goddamn best 80s slashers you'll ever watch. So it's a must-see on your watch list if you're a fan of that type of thing.
Yes, absolutely.
100% agree.
All right, one's got to go. What's it going to be?
All right, I'll go first. I fucking love Sweatshop. I love the gore, and I'm not even gonna be like, I'm kind of fucking up my own rules here, because like, I do think maybe Sweatshop Killer would probably beat the shit out of the Prowler, but the Prowler is such a it's just such a goddamn fucking titan of a slasher film. It can't not be on this list. It's knocking fucking Sweatshop out for me, even though I adore that movie. I think it's fucking great, and it's actually really underrated as far as slashers go. The Prowler is a couple of leaps above that one. So I'm going with Getting Rid of Sweatshop, unfortunately. But great film.
Who's up for it again?
Okay, I know. Real quick. Evil Dead Trap, Hell Night, Sweatshop, and the Prowler. That's what's up for him.
You guys suck. Yeah.
Kruger jumped the gun. He was excited. So I didn't get squeezed in.
Dan, why don't you go? Because I'm actually having a hard time here.
Sure. Sweatshop's not in the league of these other films. Nothing against it, but it's not even close. So Sweatshop goes for me.
I'm in the same boat. So Pugs, it doesn't matter. Okay. What awesome.
You still got a pick.
But. I am going to. I'll go Hell Knight just to be different.
Dick.
Fair enough.
It was honestly between Hell Knight and Prowler, because like I like Sweatshop.
Between Hell Knight and Prowler?
Yeah.
Okay.
That killer in Sweatshop is the fucking
cool.
And it's a great movie. It's a great movie, but something about that those 80s slashers, man. You can't replicate being a part of that time period. So I mean, it's only fair that Sweatshop gets knocked out. But it is a great movie, and I highly recommend it to any slasher fan out there. That's one that is on your must-see, up there with Charlie's Farm and some of the other stuff we've already knocked out. This is a heavy, heavy fucking hitting slashtober, so.
This one was hard for me. Damn it. I'm glad you guys made it the decision easy, though, so cool.
Yeah,
it's just absolutely. It's
and
so
I can't
hard.
Argue. I can't argue. Top fucking top tier list.
Well, just the Prowler is so fucking good, man. Like it's one of the best. So it's only fitting that it makes our list. But
yeah.
So sorry, Sweatshop. We love you, but you gotta get off the list. The Prowler stabbed your ass in the top of the head with a sword and covered your fucking mouth. So, all right.
I'm interested in next week, next episode. We have Silent Madness. So,
yeah, I've never seen that one, so I'm super excited. Even though I won't be watching a 3D like you, Todd, I am looking forward to that. But so why don't we get into fucking spoilers? Because I got a lot to talk about in this motherfucker.
All right,
sure.
Pimp our shit and then hit the spoiler roll.
Yeah, fleshwoundfeatures.com. Check out the Teespring store, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. It all starts at just $1, and you get to support us, and you also get uncensored content, early access, all sorts of great perks, and also a peek at stuff we're doing coming up, too, which is always nice. We're on everything. Discord, Facebook, Twitter. You know all of them, so
TikTok,
everything.
All right, well, on that note,
I'm just saying I'm excited as fuck because the kills in this movie are fucking phenomenal. So to be able to talk about them, It's going to be super rad because this honestly has one of my favorite fucking slasher kills of all time. Before we get into that, though, and I'll tell you which one that is, just right away we get that pitchfork kill at the beginning where we, you know, we kind of get the backstory to the killer. And the way he fucking pins that the dude that's making out with that chick on top of the other dude, and he just fucking kicks it in, like kicks the pitchfork in deeper. It's fucking brutal and just so awesome. My favorite kill in this movie is the sword through the top of the head, and it pops out the bottom of his jaw, and he's covering his mouth, and he has these like muffled screams. But then, and Dan already brought it up, you see his he has his eyes closed the whole time, and then he opens them, and they're fucking all white. That is just one of the coolest goddamn kills ever. I just think the brutality and the fact that he stabbed him through the top of his head out his mouth, and he's covering his mouth so he can't scream, just and the muffled screams underneath his hand. I fucking love that thing so much. So that's my favorite kill in this movie. And honestly, it's one of my favorite kills in any slasher film ever. And then shortly after, when he stabs that chick in the shower in the stomach with the pitchfork, I mean, that's just a great scene. And he starts to raise her up, and she lets out this blood-curdling scream. Just so awesome. Even the pool kill, like, you know, it's a simple fucking sword to the throat. But the way they film it, you kind of see these bubbles come out of her neck and just the blood coming out. Underwater, it looks so fucking badass. I mean, Savini really outdid himself in this, and I mean, rightfully so, right? Friday the 13th ripped off a lot of stuff from this movie, especially that pin, you know, when you're pinning somebody while you're making out, like we get that directly in Friday the 13th part 2. And we
sequels for sure. You do,
yeah,
sequels.
No, and we get the pitchfork kill in, I think, part 3. So I you could see where Friday the 13th kind of picked and choose some slashers. I mean, you see it in part 5 with the burning and stuff like that.
The franchise, not the original, I should say, because we know that. Yeah.
The franchise. And then I'm going to just fucking go out on a limb and say this has the best head explosion next to Maniac. Maniac's my personal favorite head explosion kill of all time, just because it's just nasty and the POV inside the car is so awesome. But this is a close second. I take this over the Scanner's kill, just the way his fucking head explodes.
The chunks, man. That's what I liked about it.
Well, and you kind of see it like almost open up like a flower, like the top of his head when it gets blown out. It opens up. And it's nasty as fuck and just such a goddamn strong way to end the movie.
Kurt Cobain.
I absolutely love that goddamn thing. And I think, honestly, out of all of Tom Savini's films, this is real, like, that he's worked on, this is up there for me with his effects, because I honestly think
highlight reel. Definitely a highlight reel.
Yeah.
He knew death. I mean, that's what he photographed. So he had an eye.
Savini's my all-time favorite effects guy. I mean, and just this shows how talented that motherfucker was. And, you know, the fact that he saw all the dead bodies and shit, he knew exactly the way the heads explode, and you see it in this movie. That's all I really got. But, yeah, fucking the kills in this, man. I mean, if anything, watch this movie for them, and you will have a goddamn great time alone. But the story and stuff is fucking fantastic as well. Like, the whole back, like, imagine fucking, you know, you're almost dying every day, and you get a letter in the mail that your girl is breaking up with you. Like, that you know, that I understand.
Fucking women.
Fucking women. But I understand the killer's motivation in this, you know, at least to a certain extent when it comes to that. Like, you know, you come back from almost dying every fucking day and your chick is with some other dude. Like, you know, I'm going to want to get revenge myself. Fuck. So I feel for this killer a little bit, at least. You know, he's brutal as fuck and he's kind of an asshole, but you get why he's doing what he's doing. And I that's the one thing I love about this. And that's kind of what I love about slashers just in general, is when you have like a real motivation that you could understand. Like, that's why I always love Maniac, because dude's abused by his mom his whole life. He's dealt with a hard life. You understand why he would go through such dark things. So, and this is a perfect example of that. And it's one of the best, man. Like, even though we didn't give it that 5 out of 5 rating, I mean, I don't think that should
4.5 across the board.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should take that with a grain of salt. This is one of the fucking absolute best. So, yeah, if you haven't, if you haven't seen it, you gotta check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other spoilers?
No, just see it.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're coming down to the wire. Tough fight now.
Yeah.
No easy eliminations. So who do we got? We got Hell Knight, Evil Dead Trap, and the Prowler. Right. That's such a, and our other entries.
Yeah.
That's such a heavy hitter list. Like, I don't know if that's going to change, but we will see. Maybe Silent Madness will axe fucking the Prowler right in the goddamn forehead. But
no comment.
Todd, come on. We all know you. We already know that 3D shit's going to be a 5 out of 5. But until then, I don't got anything else. So.
Well, with that anticipation, gentlemen, let's get the fuck out of here. Mr. Dan.
Good night, guys, and you keep having an awesome Halloween season.
Good evening.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.
I'll see you in Disneyland.